And we are back. It is still .NET Conf, except now we are at the end of Community Day. Last but not least, we've got our friend Paul Betts, formerly of GitHub, now on Slack. And congratulations on the release of Slack for Windows.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Very nice.
It's going really well.
Yeah, people can check that stuff out. And you are here to talk about something called Squirrel, like Click Once.
I've been using Click Once forever, and there's always been some weirdness. So what did you fix, man?
Well, we fixed a lot of things, let me describe what the idea is. So, Squirrel is like Click Once in the sense that it's a goal. The goal is to install desktop applications, there's a lot of things that Click Once. So we use Click Once in GitHub for Windows, and still do. And there's some things we really liked about it. It was really fast. You didn't need admin prompts to install, but it had a lot of problems with it. If anything went wrong, you get this weird dialogue that nobody knew what to do with. It just didn't with proxy servers. It was not interested in proxy servers, and a bunch of other things that we thought we could do a little better. 2 years of my life later, we have Squirrel.
Why is it called Squirrel?
It's called Squirrel because at GitHub there's a thing called the Ship It Squirrel, and so if you type colon ship it colon, you'll get a picture of a squirrel. So there you go. So there's Squirrel for Mac and there's Squirrel for Windows. Squirrel for Mac is a very different project. It's more like a Sparkle, like the old Mac updater. Mm-hmm. And Squirrel for Windows is for installing Windows applications. It's not for Linux, or it's not cross-platform.
So it's Windows apps.
It's a very much Windows thing.
And what about like Wix and all the other installers and Install Shield and Inno Setup and all that stuff?
If you've ever tried to use any of those, you maybe would be considering a 2-year pilgrimage to write your own as well. they're very comprehensive. They can do all kinds of really interesting things. They're for really big applications, but Squirrel is more for like desktop applications. They're pretty small. It doesn't solve a lot of these really weird edge cases that you probably won't hit because you're not a 18,000 person Fortune 100 company.
I see. So it does the 80% case and it does it extremely well.
Yep, exactly.
Excellent.
Exactly.
All right.
So this is a bit of a live coding exercise. So we're going to take a open source .NET application and create an installer for it.
Nice.
It's live coding because I have had no time to prepare because the run-up to Slack for Windows was released yesterday, and now I'm very busy with other things. So we're gonna do this a little live, and Scott Hanselman can be my pair programmer and can spot my dumb mistakes I'll make inevitably.
And honestly, Paul, I would like no better way to end .NET Conf with all of us, all 4,000 or however many people are watching, to code with you together. So that is wonderful.
Yep.
That's super cool. Yeah, I love that. So the idea. So what does this do? So let's watch a Squirrel application being installed, and so let's watch what doesn't happen. So let's first of all, I have Slack for Windows. I'm going to uninstall it, and so to uninstall it, we're going to go to uninstall or change of program. We're going to go to Slack, and that's it. It's uninstalled. No prompts, no questions, and so, okay, let's reinstall it.
Could I impose upon you to make your font a little bit larger if you're going to spend any time at the command line?
We're not going to spend any time in there. I just happen to have it open.
Okay, good deal.
We're going to send that away. So we double-clicked on it. We spun for a little bit. We got this nice splash screen.
That is nice.
Is that just
like I noticed that. I like that there's no next, next, next finish.
And now the app started. And that's it.
it's like some rabbit got pulled out of a hat, right?
It's how setup is supposed to be, isn't it?
Where's the next button or the scroll thing?
There's no next. There's no. People ask me desperately that they want a next button. They want prompts to fill out. They want to be able to choose the install location, and I turn them down every single time because that is not what Squirrel is about. So we're gonna kill
that's
this
cool.
Because otherwise we're gonna get notifications out of it. So that is Squirrel. That's the experience of installing a Squirrel application. And so really,
whoa, that was a good session. Wow.
Well, that's the experience of using it, but it's also a joy to develop with. So we're gonna get to that part in a second. So the idea is that we want to install desktop applications really more like how people install Mac applications. So, you know, you look at a Mac application, what does people do to install it? They take something out of a folder and drag it to a different folder. And that's it. That's all there is to it. There's no questions. There's no anything. And so that's what I wanted out of this experience. And so I wrote this little manifesto. So no wizards, no UAC dialogues, which means if you have no UAC dialogues, you install the local account. No reboots. You just we're not going to do that. And that is a little caveat because if you have installed the .NET framework and it's busy, then you do have to reboot. But the same experience is for updates. Like you never see updates in Squirrel. They're always in the background. They never interrupted the user. They never ask user to shut down the app and restart it. It's a lot like Google Chrome. So you never see Google Chrome like ask you to do something unless you let it sit for a really long time. Then it's like, please restart. Like, so that was our goal. And the Squirrel updater does the same thing. This is what Squirrel is really good at. This is what Squirrel is really bad at. So if you're running an application and has to install Windows services, it has to install drivers, if it has to install things that are machine specific, not user specific, then Squirrel is just not going to do very well. It's really for user level applications. People are always like, well, can it install the program files? No, it can't. We can't install the program files because installing the program files means you have to pop a UAC dialog, which maybe could be justifiable, but then it means every time you want to update, you have to pop a UAC dialog, which is not what we want.
Will this work on Windows 7?
It works on anything that can run .NET 4.5. So Windows 7, 8, 10, you're all good. I think Windows Vista 2. I haven't tried it, but I don't see why it wouldn't. But Windows XP it does not work on. So if you have to support Windows XP, then this will not be good for you. So that's a little bit of a bummer. So Squirrel is built to be great for users. Squirrel was built to be great for developers. And so we're going to see what actually happened when I ran that that installer. So we installed to local app data. And we're going to go to Slack. So what happened was we got, and some of these folders are because the application ran, so it did a few things. Let me see if I can bump up this font.
You can actually hit Window plus.
Can I do that?
Are you on a Mac? Command plus. And then hit it again?
Yep. There we go. Okay, cool. So that's going to swing around real fast. So what happened was we put this executable called update, which is kind of like our like jack of all trades. For doing all kinds of stuff. And so we put this folder called app.0.73. Oh, that's a way old version. Oh, I must have used an old installer. Anyway, so it's an app and then a version number. And then here's our application. And so because Slack is an Atom Shell application, we'll see very, very reminiscent. We'll be like, oh, like, you know, libchromium content, you know, content resources, stuff like that. So this is the actual application data. Like, this is the stuff that you built in Visual Studio and found in the release folder.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll step back. And so we also have this folder called packages. So what is packages? So we can see that, like, actually, as I killed it, it was trying to update me away from this super old version to this new version. And so here's the coolest thing about Squirrel that is friendly for developers, is that Squirrel is all built around NuGet. So when you want to create an install package, you create a NuGet package. And these NuGet packages aren't like super magic NuGet packages. There's a few like little tricks to them, conventions, I would say, you could say, as one would do. But really, they're just NuGet packages, which means that you can use the command line to build them, you can use NuGet package manager to build them, you can use any tool that works with the NuGet ecosystem. And so if we crack this open in NuGet Package Explorer, and I can zoom out maybe a little bit, and it's going to take forever because of the big file. So we're going to see that this is just a NuGet package, and it's got a version, and it's got a title and an author and a description, and all that metadata is going to be used to generate our installer. So we can see that under .NET 4.5, even though this is actually technically a C++ application, it has nothing to do with .NET 4.5, which is part of the convention. We're gonna see our application files. And so we could like edit this later, like we could like manually fix some stuff up if we like made a mistake. It's just NuGet files.
And you mentioned that while you were running the really old 0.7, it was trying to update. Did you interrupt the download?
Yeah, so I killed it halfway through. So it's like halfway through downloading this new file.
But I'm assuming it'll just heal itself.
Yes, well, so it'll probably just delete this file and try to re-download it.
But it did it quietly, like no one ever asked you. Like you said, it's completely friendly. It's just silent. It's almost like click once in Office. Like, until now, the best installer I'd ever seen is Office 2013. You know, it's just always up to date, and it's always keeping things nice.
Yeah, click to one is really run is a really another great example of a really good installer where like it just works and you're like, oh, nothing happened. So the idea is that you can't run an old version of Slack. Eventually, if your computer ever restarts, you'll get the latest version because we're updating in the background. So it's you can only run an old version of Slack if either like something went very wrong or you just kept it running forever, like your computer never rebooted. Because we never kick you out of the application. So at just other points, people just get the new version. They don't even, it's like we would like to treat application development like people would treat website development, where you just get the newest version. And that's, you know,
but you
that's
said
great.
You said the when you reboot, you said reboot twice. Are you putting something in the reboot key in the registry, or are you doing this on startup?
Well, so reboot just as a proxy for the application closing and reopening. Right, so okay. Like if Slack is a kind of program where they leave it open all the time, because it's a messaging app.
Right.
So people might just let it sit forever, but eventually, like their computer's going to restart from some other reason, like Windows updates, or like you know they just restarted or battery ran out, whatever. Mm. So if you have a different kind of application where people open and close it all the time, then they're just going to get the newest version when they just close it and open it the next time.
Awesome.
Yep. So it's just NuGet packages. So that's pretty cool. So let's take a look at how we can take a application and then turn it into an installer. So I did this for, let me see if I can find it. DevKeen. I actually submitted a pull request. So if you want to read later about an example of how we did this, I submitted a pull request to DevKeen, who works on the BCL team. He has this kind of side project called Audio Switcher, and it lets you switch between different, if you have like three different audio devices plugged in, it lets you switch between.
I may actually need this right now.
It's super useful. This PR gives some steps on how we converted this application that didn't have any installer into one that had a Squirrel-based installer. And so it's really simple. So if you want to read later, like see like a non-live example and you don't want to watch a video, you can take a look at this PR.
Excellent.
So we've got this application called Markpad. And so Markpad is a markdown editor. It uses ClickOnce. And it's a .NET 4 application. So one of the things you can't do, what you have to do first, is upgrade to .NET 4.5, which might be a deal breaker, or if it might be something you're just like, oh yeah, hold on a second, flip. So we run it. Cool, it worked. So we've got this application. So the first thing we're going to do, and so I unloaded some things because they weren't compatible with .NET 4.5. It was unrelated. So don't worry about this unloaded business. So we're going to take Markpad and we're going to manage a NuGet package. And so we're going to add squirrel.windows.
Okay. And is this released or pre-release?
This is released. There's no pre-release.
Okay.
So squirrel for Windows. Going to contemplate.
All it's missing is the really cool logo. I mean,
yeah, there should be a logo in here. We have a logo for Squirrel. That's like this nice illustration of a squirrel.
What is I'm just very interested in this. Your dependency delta compression. What is that?
Delta compression is just a pinvoke like library. Like it just like proxies to a Windows API. Windows actually ships with executable delta compression. Like so, compressing and uncompressing. executables in a Delta. So you can take like original and then new version, and it'll generate this file. But if you hand it original version and that file, it'll generate you the new one.
Nice.
It's built into Windows. Very hidden feature. Hmm. It's good, but the problem is that if it fails, you're kind of up a creek. It's just like, it didn't work. And you're like, why didn't it work?
Does Squirrel keep copies of 7 to 8 and 8 to 9 and all this kind of deltas, or do you just get the whole new thing?
We will generate, so what we'll do is we have this file, and this is something I didn't mention, but I should have, called releases. So let's open it, Adam. I'm going to spin for a little bit. So releases is a description of what's in this folder. And right now it's only going to have one entry. And releases is the dumbest text file in the world. It just has three like fields. It's the SHA-1 of the file, the name of the file, and then the size, expected size.
Oh, I see.
And so this file is generated automatically from like the folder of updates. So like you've got a bunch of new package files, and we'll see later how this release process goes. It's going to generate this file that kind of describes them. And so when Squirrel goes to check for updates, it's going to download this super small releases file and then say, like, okay, what version am I on and what version are they on? And then it's going to look at, say, like, okay, well, there's three Delta packages that add up to 10 MB, and the latest full installer is 15 MB. I could Delta update my way through. Or if the math is backwards and it's like, well, I could Delta update my way through, but I could just download the latest one and it's less bytes anyway.
Is that worthwhile to do all that work?
Well, so usually Delta updates end up being like you're just going from one, and it saves you a lot of bytes. Like you can end up with updates that are like 500K for like a 200 MB package, which is a big deal.
That is a big deal.
Especially if you're paying for bandwidth. So our Delta in Slack, because of a little bug in how we send out the contents. The contents are in one giant file that the Delta updater can't really read. We end up having maybe 18 MB deltas versus 50 MB, 60 MB full updates.
Still worthwhile.
It's definitely worth something. Cool. And once we fix that bug, it'll be down to 1 MB updates, which would be really nice.
Yeah, because this happens every time you start up the program again.
Well, but it also, in a continuous deployment environment, he might be updating Slack, who knows, every week, however he feels like it.
So we're at 1.0 right now. From the time we started to through our beta program, we made 26 releases. So that was really cool because we could release, the cool thing about making updates really seamless and quiet and really nice to the user is both that it's nice to the user and you can update all the time. You can send out updates, every week, every day, and nobody's going to notice and nobody's going to complain. And that's awesome.
That's funny because you gave me a link to the beta, and I haven't thought about the update process at any point during the process. It just got better as I was using it.
Yep, exactly. Cool. And so that's really cool because then if you make oopses, you can take them back really quickly.
Okay.
So cool. So we have added this package. And so Squirrel adds both a library to your package called Squirrel, and it also adds some things to the NuGet Package Manager path. So if we go into Package Manager console, it's going to give me some yellow text.
And if you could use that zoom in the lower left-hand corner there of the Package Manager, right above the Output tab.
Let's do that number. We can go Squirrel. And now we have this new thing that's going to print a bunch of. It's got a bajillion options. You can ignore 90% of them, because right now this isn't ideal. But this executable is used both for that update.exe and creating packages. It really should be two separate things. But right now it's just one big magic thing that does everything. Not ideal. We've got this application. So the first thing we need to do is create a NuGet package of Markpad. So what we're going to do is we're going to build it in release mode. We're going to wait for Visual Studio to contemplate its life. Okay, here we go. Build, build, build.
And all you did was add the reference and build.
Yeah, so we're not quite done yet, but yeah, that's basically it.
I'm just making sure, I know that this isn't solved problem yet, but I'm just trying to get a sense of You added Squirrel. Did it modify your CS prod yet, or do anything like that?
It's added a reference, just like any other. Right. So it's added a reference to a bunch of DLLs, basically. But that's all it did. We don't use any. There's no MS build magic. We're just adding references.
No IL rewriting.
Nope. Okay. None of that. So we're gonna create a new package. We're gonna call it. We're gonna do some editing. We're gonna call it Markpad. And we're gonna say it's 1.0. I'm not gonna mess with the authors. Is cool. Summary. And so release notes actually ends up being used. You can fetch them using a C# API. And so you can actually write Markdown in here, like what's new? And it gets turned into HTML. But that's like a, I don't know. You can use that. You can choose not to. You can always have your own way of doing release notes too. This is just like a provided built-in one.
And this is release notes for when someone gets an update and they want to know what's new, they can open this file up.
Well, and you stick it in help about or help release notes.
Yeah, so you have an API to fetch it like in C#. So you can take that HTML and like do whatever you want with it, like display it on the screen, like, you know. So you have an API to get this in your app.
Okay. Makes sense.
So you don't have to dig it out of NuGet. You just read it in using an API. And we use icon URL. That's really important. So let's like find.
And this is the icon of the setup.exe you're going to make for us.
Yeah. WPF. Let's see if I can spell. No, I cannot. PF. So .ping. So we need an icon. So. And it needs to be a URL, so conveniently on GitHub, we'll just take that.
Nice.
Isn't that cool? That's how it's done.
Go like that. Don't do that for like things that get more than one visitor. Like if you're like using GitHub as a CDN, they will not enjoy that.
They will notice.
They will notice. They will notice. Okay, so we created the metadata. Our release notes are not great, but that's okay. We're gonna lib. We're going to create a new .NET folder. We're going to say it's .NET 4.5, even though it's not .NET 4.5. We're just going to lie. Well, actually, in this case, it is. But it doesn't matter. Like, if it's a C#, if it's a Python application, say it's .NET 4.5. If it's like,
why
a,
is
you
that?
Know, we So originally, Squirrel tried to resolve dependencies for you. Like, it would, like, go through all of your packages' dependencies and, like try to shuffle them in. It turns out that was, A, really, really hard because it's actually non-trivial to figure out what files are actually linked into your project, and B, like, nobody cares. Like, you can just stuff it in a folder. Like, you just, like, add all the files, and, like, okay, it's done.
So this is just an artifact of how NuGet works.
No, it's an artifact of how he was planning on making Squirrel work.
Right.
Yeah, I wanted it to work one way, like a super fancy way, and then realize that, like, instead I could just do it the dumb way, and everyone would be happy. So we're going to add locales. And we're going to add...
Now, why aren't you control... A-ing here. You really know what you want specific things.
Well, because I don't want to pick up like the VS host file. I don't want to pick up these PDBs. I don't want any of those things in my project, right?
I see. You really need a manifest of exactly what to install.
Yeah, so we're going to make like a crappy one kind of.
So this is like a glorified X copy sort of deployment. No, it's not.
It's more than that. What he's doing here, though, is he's using NuGet, which is a zip file. And he's zipping up his bin release folder because this is what's going to get laid down.
No, I get
the
that.
Result of
if you're going to test this, though, you do the X copy to find the exact files you want, and then you put them in here.
Yeah. I mean, like it generally, it's like all your DLLs and EXEs. And so it's not quite X copy deployment, but we think that it's much closer to X copy than perhaps Wix would. Okay. So we're going to save this. We create a new NuGet manifest file. So we create a new spec file. Yes, I do. And this is just a lazy way to do it. You could do this using any way you wanted to. You can write a much better one by hand. But I'm just a very lazy programmer, and so I just use NuGet Package Explorer to like dump some files in here and go. So we've got this Markpad file. No, so we've got the spec file now. We're going to go back to Visual Studio. In the Package Manager console, we're going to create a NuGet package. And you could do this any way you want to. Like, you could use the GUI tool. Where am I? Okay. I am used to using NuGet.exe, so I'm going to use that because I use that all the time to package all kinds of libraries. So NuGet.exe, this is the worst completion in the world, pack markpad. Boop, 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 boop.
And that could be part of your CI or whatever.
You can make that, yeah, exactly. It's part of your CI. You can do it. You can set up Squirrel as part of your CI. It's very compatible with both, like doing stuff as a one-off and doing things in a very like automatable way.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're gonna go Squirrel, releaseify.
Nice.
Markpad 1.0, nupkick. We're gonna spin for a while. Contemplate our
and presumably
position
you can,
in life.
And just to make sure for people who are watching, you don't have to do this in the package manager console.
It makes it a little bit more convenient because, like, so the package manager console injects like all the right paths, right? So squirrel.exe is buried under like packages/squirrel-100-tools-yada-yada-yada.
I see.
It's actually one of the big problems is like automating it means you have to know what version of Squirrel you're on because NuGet decided to put it in some folder.
Mm.
Got it.
Which is a little frustrating. But
okay, so there is value in doing it from here. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. So we're going to start. So we created this new folder called releases. And so now we have our full package, and that full
and
is
you,
like back from the time.
Zoom in on that for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
For those
so
of us,
full
it's
is back from when we were doing like trying to resolve all your dependencies. It actually now is just basically a copy.
Okay.
We've got this releases file, which is going to have one entry. And now we have a setup executable.
Now, interestingly, the setup executable is 500K larger than the nupkeg. Do I need the NuGet package anymore?
You do. Because you're going to take this and shove this whole folder up on S3.
Oh, up in some HTTP server somewhere.
Yeah, and S3, you can use Azure Blob Storage. That's the other key thing about Squirrel is that the server is not a server. It's just a folder full of files.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need any kind of, like, there's no, you don't have to set special MIME types. You don't have to set, up some sort of server, update server. It's just files. So you can serve this up from like a Dropbox folder. Well, maybe not Dropbox folder, but
yeah, probably
anything
not,
else.
But yeah, anywhere else where it can go back. It can go back to where it came from and pick up stuff and ask questions.
Yep.
Okay.
And so you're going to build a big folder like this over time because we're going to use the existing contents of this folder to build Delta packages. So when I create 101, we're going to see two new files, a 101 full and a 101 Delta.
Ah, so over the course of a year or two of weekly releases, there will be fulls for everything and a Cartesian product of deltas.
Well, so it's only we only do deltas to the previous one.
Ah.
We don't like do like jump three. Because what we'll do is we'll just start, if we're three behind, we'll apply the first delta, then apply the second delta, then apply the third. So we're taking more time on the client. But we're taking we don't have to do all the stuff on the server.
And if you're farther than three back, you just go full.
Well, so it's based on bandwidth. So if you add up to too high, then it picks the cheaper one, basically.
Nice.
That's smart.
But at some point, you'll probably end up like trimming your releases file. You're like nobody's running 001 anymore. We can just start to delete these.
Now a question came in, and because I'm learning, if you don't mind, I'm going to try to answer it. And you tell me if I get it right. A gentleman is asking the relationship between Squirrel to Chocolaty, which is a command line package manager that people use to install utilities, and also sometimes wrap stuff as an installer. Chocolaty is a package manager, and it's for utils and stuff, but it's not something that I would give to a regular person. Like, I'm not going to go and tell Joe Slack user or Jane Slack user on Windows 7, install Chocolaty and type this at the command line. You saw how easy the Slack install was. He double-clicked, and he was running the app. They are different things. One is a package manager for command line people, for enthusiasts. This is a general-purpose installer builder. They both just happen to use NuGet for their manifests. Is that correct?
That's all correct. Exactly.
I got it right.
Squirrel is a tool for developers to build things.
I get it now. This is awesome.
Yep. And so let's watch our installer in action. I'm going to cross our fingers.
As the installer goes, is there a way maybe to point Squirrel at some of the chocolatey packages?
That's on the developer, though, to do that.
Well, maybe. That's a thing you could do. We haven't done that yet. So, but chocolatey call could always just wrap Squirrel and Squirrel installer. So Squirrel has a silent option. You can install it without popping the thing. So you could create a chocolatey wrapper for Squirrel installers really easily.
Yeah, okay. I think these are complementary. Yeah. But remember that he's making icons. This is a developer tool for end users to have awesome installers. Chocolatey is more of a enthusiast tool that I see. You're not going to make it a general purpose installer. Okay.
Yep. And you can always do both.
Indeed.
We're going to run setup and cross our fingers. And so hopefully, generally the speed of installation is all about how much content you include.
Look at that. So and you put it on the desktop. Now. Interesting. You put the icon on the desktop. Did you make one in program files too?
We put one in start menu, yeah.
In the start menu as well?
Yeah. No, it didn't start. That probably means I forgot one of the files, which I did last time. So
if you double click on the one on the desktop, it'll just fail to start? It'll
yeah, watch. I think I forgot to include. If you forget to include one of the Chrome files, then the application.
So here's an interesting question. If the app won't start, can you use Squirrel to patch this now, or because it never installed correctly in the first place, it won't? You couldn't do a Delta right now.
So we don't run like a background update server. Mm-hmm. Like updates aren't running in the background. That means that like if you can't start the app, then you're kind of up a creek.
Okay, so you do count on the app to because the app is Squirrel's a library that you've added to the app. The way that you update the app is some code inside of your app that's going to check for those updates.
Yeah.
That is the smallest font that I've ever seen.
Yeah, can we zoom in?
It's small on my computer. Windowbug is not Retina ready.
You can zoom in.
Because it was written in 1992, so we always got to change this to Courier New. Because we're old school.
Thank you, sir.
We're gonna go 16.
Yeah, we are. We're looking at a
basically
very
every time I open the application, I have to like fix the sizing.
And this is the fun part of pair programming here.
Yeah, this is all messed up too. So if you folks at Microsoft are listening, then make Windowbug Retina ready. It's like number like 3 million on a list of priorities, I'm sure. But
I will make a call right after this. Presentation.
Reload. Oh man, we blew up. So we forgot to include Caliburn Micro.
Okay. Why did it not Watson and give a proper error message? Is that just because of the error handler of Markpad?
I think that Markpad
swallowed it.
That's a Markpad thing. Yeah. Okay. Date it. So if you include a Windows 7 or higher manifest, mm-hmm. you can get out of Watsoning, basically.
Oh, I see.
You're saying, like, I'm a cool modern application. Please don't Watson me.
And then you would send it off to Raygun or some other third-party, you know,
yep.
person.
And it says it's there. Well, if I didn't mess this up, then it would work. But let's move on.
Does it run right out of there?
No, it blows up. It says it can't find this assembly that is
1.4. Okay. And the version you have in the folder there is 1.4?
It's got to be 1.4.
You can right-click on it.
I just copied it from the...
Right-click and find out.
Yeah. Let's check. That's a good idea. So, local app data, Markpad. So, just like we did with the Slack, we've got this app 1.0. Mm-hmm. And we've got our contents. And it's details
1.5.1.
There you go.
Oh, I know what we did. We didn't include the binding redirects.
Yep, the app.config file.
We forgot the app.config file. That's what happened.
Pair programming.
So these are things that let's find out if that's true.
Let's build it again.
Let's try it.
Let's go back to.
We believe in you.
All right. Well, let's move on because we'll do more interesting things.
Okay.
So cool. So, and we're running maybe a little low on time. It's already 4:30.
That's okay. We have 20 minutes.
So let's look at what we could do to make this. So we've got an installer. Now how can we make an updater?
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to be super lazy, and who doesn't want to be lazy? let's go task.run. And we're going to use this class called Update Manager. It's basically the only class in Squirrel. And it's the thing that lets us handle what we want. So we need to path a URL or path. And so that's the coolest, one of the coolest things about Squirrel. It's a URL or it's a path.
Mm.
So that means that testing updates is really easy because I don't have to put it anywhere. I don't have to like upload it to some website. All I do is we're going to take this path. Copy his path.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go back to Visual Studio.
It's one of my favorite tips to show people who are old timers. You say shift right click, and they're like, I never knew you could do that.
That's super secret.
It is.
And so that's our remote update folder.
Mm-hmm.
And our application name is always the NuGet package ID, and I don't know why we asked for the application name. We really should just not.
Given that you know it, because you came from there.
Yeah. And just say framework version 4.5 because this should go away. So now we can control manager update app.
And you've got other things, check for update and all sorts of logic. Presumably you could prompt the user if you wanted to bother them desperately.
Yeah, so if we want to figure out like if we want to check for updates but not download them, like maybe we just want to see like, hey, should we prompt the user? Should we show like a little icon?
Oh, yeah. Light up the status bar or whatever.
But update app is like the lazy version. I think it's actually in a class called like easy mode. Yeah. Easy mode mixin.
And it's all static.
That's simple. Well, it's an extension method.
That's an extension method.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
So I'm assuming then that you'll run the app and it'll be in the background on its own, you know, its own task. You can see it's all being done asynchronously. It's not bothering the app. And then the next time he runs the app or it notices, it'll just update itself before it runs.
Yep,
right, so
exactly.
It'll run, update itself, spawn itself again. So to the user, it looks like it only ran once. In fact, it ran, updated, and then ran again.
We don't do that.
When do you update?
If we update it, say like we started up and we saw there was an update and we ran the update,
right.
They're going to get the old version until they close. It's not like click once where we like intercepted like the app startup and restarted.
Okay. So you do the update on the close event?
Well, so we do the update, but the old version's still running. Like, we don't stop it from...
But how do you copy over the executable you're currently running?
This is the trick, and this is super cool, and this is what ClickOnce also does. So what we do is we just create a separate folder, because it's based on the version, so app-dash...
How very Chrome-y of you.
And then we shuffle out the shortcuts. So we replace the shortcut, not pointing to 1.0 anymore, to 1.1.
And then do you ever clean up the old executables?
We always leave the one you're currently running and the one you're moving to, and then we clean up the rest.
So then they can always get back to an old one if they needed to.
Well, so that's the idea, but in fact, it's just so because there's no real reliable way to tell like if code is running. Like you could have like a back, like it could spawn off this background thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing something. You can't tell like if this is safe to delete.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we just say, like, we're going to keep the current version, we're going to roll in this new one, we're going to rewrite the shortcuts.
Nice.
And then eventually it's going to, like, disk space is cheap. We don't care about wasting a little bit of disk space. Eventually we're going to get, like, three of those, and then we're going to say this last one we know is not running because it's not the current version, it's not the next version, so we can just nuke that one.
Okay, so then if the user, one of the questions that came in off of Twitter was that how do you not require the user to close and restart? And the point is that you don't. You simply wait for them to close and restart. Someday they will eventually have to stop running your app.
That's one of the important things about Squirrel is unlike like every other application install framework, I feel like it's like this very black box thing. Like you don't get any control over it. It just like wraps your application in this like bubble and you can't make any decisions on your own. You have to ask this framework to do something for you. Squirrel is just a library. And you can call into it and do whatever you want. You could choose for your application that maybe you do want to prompt the user and like force them to restart. It's not very nice to your users, but you could do it. You could say, like, I really want this application to always be the latest one. If we find a new update, then, like, make the user restart it. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's important for your business application. But you choose how the how it works. And you get to choose, like, when you do updates, and you get to choose how you display that to user, and you get to choose when the app restarts.
Very cool.
So it's all just code. You can you call methods, and then it does stuff.
Okay.
So we have another function that if I wanted to, I could say manager.restart. Where is that? Maybe that's a static method. Yeah, restart app.
Okay.
And then that only works if we're an installed application. So actually all of this only works.
And presumably you could warn them and give them a chance to say, hang on in a minute or whatever.
Yeah, and so you can choose when to call that method. You can call it whenever you want.
Yeah.
And that was one of the frustrating things we had with ClickOnce that we didn't like in GitHub for Windows is that you couldn't choose a lot of this stuff. You're just like, once you picked an update URL, you're stuck with it forever. Once you you couldn't update from anything but that single update URL that you chose initially, all kinds of these things that were very inflexible. And so Squirrel is very much a project that you can make it do whatever you want.
And,
even if it doesn't work, it's open source, so you can fork it and really mm-hmm. make it do whatever you want.
And I could certainly, like with ClickOnce, they had opinions about certificates. I could code sign this if I wanted to, or whatever works for my company.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So one, we generally recommend that we just trust HTTPS, mm-hmm. like HTTPS does what it should. But if you want to do things like crazy things like cert pinning, where you're like, I only want it to be this version and nothing else, and we guarantee like all this stuff, you could do it.
But your point about trusting HTTPS, I could certainly validate the cert and make sure it came from where I wanted it to and that I trusted that CA.
Yep. Because you know that it's, at the end of the day, it's just a file. So you could just fetch that with HTTP client and then like look at it and like look all kinds
right.
of.
And to the point of one of the questions that came in, there is no server implementation here. The gentleman was asking if there's a server access implementation. There's no server implementation. It is just HTTPS.
It's just a file. Yeah.
It's just a file up in the air.
So let's create this thing, and we're gonna create a new version just for fun because we're running out of time. So I also had a thing where we actually like there's actually an update view model that we could rewrite and make it squirrelified, but let's skip that.
How did that get in there? Did you write that, or did that come in when you brought the NuGet in?
Well, so update view model is part of Markpad, like it was part of the original code.
Oh, okay.
And so they check ClickOnce for everything, and we would just cut out that code and check Squirrel for everything.
Nice.
So let's bump the version. Right now it's 0000. Well, let's just leave that. So in Markpad accents, we can change the color. So we're going to take this and move it to blue.
All right.
So this is just like the dumbest change we can definitely see. And so let's comment on our setup code because...
And then we'll make sure that we include our app config in our in the manifest there. In the
next time we'll include the app config. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's do that right now while we're building. Can we? And while we're spinning, we're running out of time.
That was running, right? Not building.
Say it again.
You are
yeah, we're
running,
but it's like contemplating. So let's fix up our new spec. I don't remember what that config file is called. Is it
it's
like
app.config?
Is it markpad.config?
No, it is literally app.config, and it gets copied to markpad.exe.config as part of the release process. So it'll be markpad.exe.config.
Cool. So let's fix that up.
All right.
Did it. So we're going to bump this to 101.
All right.
And so when we're seeing the app run, the app is running somewhere.
Are you sure?
Where is it? Mm-hmm. It should be running. It says it's running. What's the deal?
Maybe control F5 that one instead of F5. Do you have another monitor?
Run with emphasis. I don't have any other monitor. What's the deal?
Is it?
We have blown up in remoting. What?
Somebody else is.
Oh,
dead. It's running elsewhere.
We're still parked in Windebug. That's.
Oh.
This is where it's running.
Every time.
Oh, Windbag.
You got me good, Windebug. You got me good.
That's why we call it Windbag.
Yep, yep. All right, here we go. So now this guy's blue.
Nice. Okay.
So that's our big change.
All right. Let's see it install.
So we're going to roll a new release.
There wouldn't be an installer demo without the actual installer getting created.
So we're gonna do exactly what we did before.
Okay. Packet and releaseify.
Packet. Gonna wait a little bit. And so one thing that's important to note, if you're gonna use this for production, you mm-hmm. need to get a code signing certificate.
Yes.
This is super important for getting around antivirus. So antivirus will think your setup installer is very suspicious if you do not code sign your app. And so Squirrel has an option that makes this really, really easy. You just pass in some parameters to Releaseify, and it will sign everything for you, sign the installer for you with the same signature. Nice. Everything will be wonderful.
And I've got experience doing this stuff now. I went with Komodo. I think it's $100. The warning is you need to make sure that you have a business name with an address and a phone number, and you can show them your business. You have to prove that you're a real human. It's not as easy as an SSL cert.
I think code signing certs actually in the last like year or two have gotten way easier as well and way cheaper. Like you don't have to spend like a bajillion dollars.
It used to be $400 or $500. Now it's $99.
Yeah, it keeps going down because SSL keeps being less trustworthy. I guess it's fine.
Okay.
So we're spinning. We're taking a little bit longer because we're building a delta. So we're going to see that show up in a minute.
Even though in this context, the delta won't help us if the first one didn't run, right?
Well, yeah. So I'm gonna show you a little trick that's gonna make it work anyway.
Oh, nice.
Because Squirrel is very hackable, we can hack it. So this is taking forever. This is a dull part of the demo. Do we have any questions, comments, concerns?
Here's a question about can you use file shares internally, like a UNC or something, for an update if you have an enterprise running?
Yep, you could totally do that.
Yeah.
Will that get past?
Basically, just say like if it starts with HTTP, treat it as a web thing, and if it's not, then treat it as a file. So we're going to go back in our releases folder.
Okay.
Now we see a delta that's 17 KB. That's nice. That's good. I'll take that. And a full package.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we open this releases folder,
left-hand side.
What is going on?
Why I think it's in your other running Atom.
Let's go back here. This is gonna reload. Oh no, this is a different releases file. So.
Okay.
There we go. Okay, so now we've got a duplicate entry, which is just wrong. So I'm gonna. Okay, and so that's just a file you can edit. That's important because there's a bug in it. Surprise. So there's three entries. And so we're gonna download this file and say we're like, okay, we're on 1.0. We're going to 1.1, 1.0.1. This is this big. This is this big. Which one do I want to download? Well, that one.
Okay.
So now we're going to do this trick that I use for testing updates all the time.
Now you are going to have to make that font bigger if you're going to spend any time here. Or zoom in.
I always forget.
Sorry, buddy.
No problem. That's good. Now we're cooking.
Now we're cooking, exactly.
So we're going to go update. Update. Down marker.
Okay, so update is a Squirrel thing.
Yeah. So update is actually squirrel.exe, just renamed.
Ah.
Which is a clever trick because we're like, how can we get all the update logic into the thing, and we just shove ourselves in basically. So we're gonna update. It's going to do nothing because it's not a console application, so it's going to look like it's not running. But if we look into Task Manager, we're going to see it spinning.
So it's doing the delta. It's being smart.
Yeah. So and the idea, the reason that it's this executable is that like Squirrel really has these two paths, like one for C# applications, where you can just call a library and it's super easy, and one for anything, any other application. So the way that you integrate, the way that you integrate Squirrel with like a C++ application is that you just shell to update, to ask it to do stuff, and it prints stuff over standard output. So that means it works with like Python, it works with Ruby, anything you want, because it's just an executable. And so that's what we do for Atom shell applications, even though they're not at all C# things. Mm-hmm. So now we've got App 101, we've got App 100, and if we look in packages, we see we downloaded the Delta and we created the full one.
Nice.
So we rebuilt that.
2 minutes later. Excellent, excellent. And then you presumably rewrote the shortcuts as you said.
Yeah, exactly. So we're gonna try to run it. We're gonna cross our fingers. Did we fix the bug? We're spinning. We ran it. And it
did it come and go?
It did nothing. Alright, well, we made progress. We made progress. Alright, Pat.
Can you go into the
There it is.
It ran. And then
it's spinning. It's spinning.
Coming back.
And it's pinned. Okay, well, I'm not a MarkPad Pro.
Maybe it's still running under Visual Studio. You've got the VS host there.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Let's.
And it doesn't remember how it doesn't want to run two at a time?
Now it's just parked.
Toss both of those. Go ahead and end both of those tasks with impunity.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Let's try killing Visual Studio to get rid of the VS host. The VS host is like holding some like instance, single instance.
Well, you've got MS build and different stuff running in the background there too.
Yeah, so many people to hold some handles open. All right, here we go. MarkPad, we're going.
Came and went.
All right.
You can actually see in the event viewer. It's probably just another DLL that didn't get dropped.
Yeah,
in.
Or it didn't
actually,
like
real
didn't
quick,
like
hang on a second. Where's your application.config file there?
101.
Let's look in 101. So there's our config file.
Let's look inside there. Let's look at that inside. Whoops.
Ooh.
I was just saying, drop that into Atom.
Oh no. We gotta wait for a million years. Here we go. Yeah. So that looks legit.
That looks legit. It's probably just a missing DLL.
Yeah. So, but that's the idea. So we laid down a new version.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look in it just for fun, we can look in this Delta file, and it's also a NuGet package. Like, there's nothing particularly magic about it.
Right.
The magic part is that instead of regular files, we have these files called like .diff
and .shasum. And .shasums for all of them to make sure that you really have a healthy diff.
That we got back the file we expected. So if any of these fail, we're like, oh man, like it didn't work. That sucks.
And if you scroll down a little bit, I'm gonna suspect. Go show me the markpad.exe.config, all new. Yeah, so there it is. That one's all new. That doesn't have a diff because it's brand new. It's an addition.
And so all these are the same. So all their diffs are going to be zero sized.
Right.
So these are all zero sized files, except for a few. Like this one's going to be actual content.
Right.
And so we can see here the release notes have been turned from Markdown into HTML.
And so to be clear, this is really exciting because you're using this for real. This has gone from a hobby to a thing. You used it originally on GitHub, and it's now being used in Slack. So people can feel comfortable using this product with their own stuff, like now.
We're using it in Slack in production today. Uh-huh. The Atom installer, Atom the text editor, is using Squirrel for Windows.
Oh, wow.
So chances are whatever you're installing is not as fancy as what is already being installed with Squirrel. So people can be using this today. Hopefully this turns into a big thing. Do you know of any other stuff, any other people using Squirrel?
There's some open source projects. There's a project called Aspera, which is using Squirrel, and they use it for releases and stuff. But yeah, it's going really well. So let me show one more thing, because you might be asking, like how do I do like file associations, or how do I do like all this other stuff? And so the idea is that we have like kind of two modes of operation in Squirrel. There's like, I don't care, like just do it for me, or we'll just create a shortcut for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can say like, I'm interested in kind of doing some of this myself. And so we can say using Squirrel. And the way you do that, and if you could spell Squirrel right, there we go, is we add an assembly. We add just the Squirrel. Where is it? It is a assembly. What's it called?
Assembly attribute.
Yep. It's called Squirrel Aware. Squirrel Aware App.
Okay.
No, wait, that's not right. What's it called? It's just a dumb.
It's a marker. It's a marker attribute.
It's a marker attribute, exactly. And I'm spacing on the name, but I'll find it. It's in the install instructions. And so basically it says, like, please don't create shortcuts for me. I would like to do this myself.
Ah.
And so the idea is that you now get hooks into different events in the squirrel life cycle. So we can say like, and there's a helper class to help you out. Squirrel or app dot handle events.
Yeah.
And so we can say like, okay, what happens on initial install? What happens when the app is updated?
That's cool.
What happens when the app is obsoleted? So that means like you are the older version, you're going away, but you're not being uninstalled. You're being like sent away. Or when the app is uninstalled. And you also get a chance to do something when the app is run for the first time. So the idea is that when you run these hooks, you should do what you need to do and then immediately exit. And so the idea is that you need to run this handle events as soon as possible in startup because you're going to get killed. So after your initial install code runs, your app's going to exit. But then on first run, you get a chance, like it's going to tell you like, hey, this is the first time you're running after being installed. Maybe you want to show like a you know, welcome screen or like, you know, some kind of like nice thing.
So what's the difference between on app updated and on first run? Is it the first time I've ever been run of any version or the first time of this version?
The first time I've ever been run.
Okay.
Like the user's first experience with your application.
So that's
on
welcome.
Updated just means you're about to install a new version.
Okay, so then on first run is welcome to Slack, and on updated is reset up my file associations.
Yeah, and so there's some utility things to help you out. So like I'm just gonna make it so autocomplete works default of update manager. So MGR to create shortcuts for this executable.
Mm. Oh, wow. You'll even do that for me. I was thinking I'd have to go and learn how to do that myself.
Nope. So you can also do like create shortcuts for a different executable. And you can say like where you want to put them. You can choose like start menu, like the startup folder, like if you want your app to start up on new start or the desktop. And I think there's some other ones too.
So by default, you'll put them in the start menu and you'll put them in on the desktop.
Well, so if you say that you're a Squirrelware application, you opt out of all the default behavior. So like we're not going to do anything for you. But so if you don't do that, we're going to do the like the you didn't follow instructions behavior of we're going to just create a desktop and start menu shortcut for you. And for a lot of applications, they don't need that. Like, they don't need to be a Squirrelware application, so they can just, like, take the default behavior.
Very cool. I'm actually mentally writing an installer in my head for an app that I've got. My little dictation app, I think, needs a better installer. Because right now, I rolled my own, and I'm constantly prompting the user for stuff. It's a little annoying, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's all there is to Squirrel. All this stuff, if you missed it live, we've got in the docs folder.
Uh-huh.
This is our user documentation. So it describes like more advanced usage, like the API. Getting started is a great place to like just get going. If you want to learn about more about how it works, we have like a specs folder that has more of like this is the details of like how that they're a little out of date, but like more like the details of how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
Very cool.
And then you can hack the source, do whatever you want. Look at the 57 issues that I probably should all fix. But that's fine.
Well, I assume that you want some help. I mean, is this up for grabs as well?
It depends. A lot of the things that I'm really like. So the problem is, if you break the updater, then you break like people get stuck at old versions.
Well, you break the world.
So, like,
yeah.
You break the world. I'm very paranoid about pull requests, more so than I am in other projects that I work on. So
mm-hmm.
If you see things you think are good ideas, you can submit a pull request for sure, but be prepared that I might not be into it.
Well, we really appreciate your time, and I think that there's no better example of the community and of the best of .NET Conf than to do a giant pair programming session in front of 4,000 people. So thank you so much, Paul Betts.
Thanks, Paul.
Yep, no problem. Thank you so much for having me.
So this has been the end. This is it.
That's
.NET Conf 2015, we did it.
I know, it's been great. And actually, we have one announcement to make.
We have an announcement.
Because since we're completely organic and we're live, right? So we heard your feedback from WPF. People want more WPF.
Okay.
So on March 23rd, which I think is Monday?
Monday,
yeah, next Monday.
At 11 p.m. Pacific or 1600 GMT, there's going to be a WPF Unplugged.
Do you mean AM?
Sorry, AM. Okay. 11 a.m. 11 a.m. Yeah. There's going to be a WPF Unplugged session with the team. More WPF on Channel 9.
That's right.
On Monday.
Live.
Live. Mm-hmm.
We're actually taking a rig over to their office.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to be talking to them live on Monday.
Okay, that's so just, more WPF.
Yeah, you guys wanted it. We saw the tweets. We saw the feedback everywhere. So it's happening.
Somebody tell a boss.
That's right. So we all get a free soda.
Cool. So we'll make sure that we tweet that and get that information out to everybody.
That's right.
Here watched.
But thank you very much again for joining us. And thank you very much for helping us out with the remote speaker.
Yeah, and to everybody. I mean, I thought that the Skypes worked very well. We've got, and of course, this is all volunteer. Paul was here as a volunteer. We had Sandra from Halo, people in multiple time zones from all over the world volunteering their time to the community, as do many, many people who do open source. So thank you very much on behalf of Javier and Seth, myself, and of course, the cast of thousands who are outside the door there, and Golnaz, who ran the editing and the camera the entire time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we will see you again next year.